Hello, this is Kyle Marple. I'm an associate chaplain with Safer Communities, and we're going to be going over don'ts 20 through 29. Let me start with a caveat that we have to remember, ladies and gentlemen, where we're going. We're going into facilities where there are incarcerated men and women, most of whom have been convicted of crimes. And we have to be careful when we're there to make sure that we are in their environment. And we have to also understand that a lot of people we're going to be dealing with are very angry, very upset, hopeless, depressed, and we have to make sure that we are prayed up and filled with the Holy Spirit before we go into these facilities. Having said that, number 20, don't act shocked or seem judgmental. Inmates and ex-offenders may have pent up negative feelings, and yet usually they hunger to be genuinely accepted. Don't be surprised that even though you love them, they may reject you. They may test you to see if they can trust you, and sometimes they may try to get you to reject them. So just be patient and accepting. Again, to the caveat, remembering where we're at, the statistics on the men and women that you're going to be meeting with are staggering. Over 70% of them did not have a mother and father in the home. The basic things that you and I may take for granted on love, relationships, how to handle checkbooks, how to deal with other people, how to deal with their anger, escape them. They never had that training. So we have to make sure that when we're there, that we don't act surprised or shocked or how could you do that or why didn't you know better or anything like that, which would be a natural response for somebody else that may know those things with which we've dealt with in the past. Number 21, don't believe everything you hear. Watch for a manipulative criminal mindset to slip back in. Check it out first. The grapevine is highly active in prisons and jails. Be very careful about information you share. Even though they may be truly spiritual and making progress, they can have old programming to, quote, game people, especially nice church people like yourselves. Lovingly but firmly help them see what they are doing. Trust and relationship building are also so important. Again, a lot of times you're going to be dealing with people who have been lied to and manipulated their whole lives. So even though they are spiritually progressing, they are still going back into an environment surrounded by people who are not progressing, who don't know the Lord. So, of course, the old habits and the dog returning to its own vomit will be fully in effect in a prison setting. So we have to make sure that we stick to the program and stick to the process. Your focus is on Jesus Christ and the salvation that comes alone in Jesus Christ. Number 22, don't make decisions for them. Help them make their own decision and achieve their own goals. They got incarcerated for making bad decisions in the first place. Inmates have been in an environment where most all decisions are made for them, yet once out, 100 decisions a day instead of a handful is suddenly thrust on them. They need people to reflect with them what they are doing, especially the first 6 months out. It will take some time to believe that trusting folks and being teachable is a wise idea, not an insult. Now, this will happen on a case-to-case basis as far as you're helping people while you are ministering to them. Some want to get information on a specific instance in their lives and some advice, while some just want to use you as a voice box to make several decisions for them. Again, we want to make sure that we are focused on the reason why we're there. If you feel led to give a suggestion or this is what Jesus would do, the idea here is to give them information or to get them in a direction where they will pursue it themselves. If you are very familiar with Scripture, or if the Lord brings the Scripture to your mind when they ask you a question, have them go in that direction. I would suggest you look at this verse. I would suggest you read this chapter in the book of John and let them go on their own path, and that way they can start learning, if not already making wiser decisions. Number 23, never get into an argument. Enough said. The prison areas in the United States are ripe for recruitment into other cults. You're going to experience somewhere along your ministry somebody who comes to you who wants to argue the differences between either their cult or their interests and the Word of God. This is a great opportunity, ladies and gentlemen, to speak to them by just referring to Christ. I'm just here to represent Jesus Christ. This is all I know. And I would really encourage you to investigate it. Taste of the Lord and see that He is good. Always keep it positive. Always keep the focus on Jesus Christ. Number 24, don't be their emotional dumping station. They may start venting about how unfair things are or griping about things that go wrong. You want to listen up to a point, but then use good questions to move on and deal with the real issues. Help them see that this won't deliver them from problems like self-pity, blaming, instead of taking responsibility, anger, bitterness, fear, and other root spiritual problems. I want to make an emphasis here, but use good questions to move on. Again, using questions that lead them to Christ, or using questions that will lead them to Scripture, so again, they can go do an investigation on their own to find the answer. Throughout the Bible and the New Testament, Christ always used parables that the listeners would come to the conclusion. And so we want to make sure that we continue to do that. We're not psychologists, we're not psychiatrists, and we don't want to pretend to be. We always want to steer them to the Lord. Number 25, don't expect inmates to be consistent. If you do, they may get irritated, blame them, etc. Don't expect instant results. Instead, patiently expect to be slow, sometimes difficult work. Again, we have to make sure that we take the time and we use that fruit of the Spirit, long-suffering. It may take 5 times, 10 times, 20 times. But we have to make sure that we are consistent with our ministry and we continue to love and we continue to feed in and we continue to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We water, we plant seeds. It is God alone who gives the increase. Amen. Number 26, don't expect thanks or gratitude. Generally, inmates and ex-offenders are appreciative of volunteers, but they may not know how to express it. The conditioning of prison and jail culture often works against it. This, of course, varies very much with the individual. Consider where they are. Even though you may be ministering to or dealing with people that have known the Lord for years, they are still in a very negative environment, an environment that is very hostile to Jesus Christ, very hostile to the Bible, and we have to make sure as representatives of Christ that we are exceedingly patient, abundantly patient, and understand that the gratitude or the thanks that we receive for our ministry does not come from man, but comes from the Lord. Amen. Number 27, don't sell anything. Do not sign up inmates or ex-offenders for any business opportunity or cause. I don't believe that this needs any special highlighting, ladies and gentlemen. We're not there for our own interests. We are there to serve our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Number 28, never visit their families. You don't want to become an unwanted go-between in the negative situation. By visiting their families, this also means never taking anything out with you. You will have inmates who come to you and want to offer you something. Usually it's a piece of paper, and they'll say, the Lord told me to give this to you. I felt led, I felt moved to give you this. Well, a lot of times it's an address, it's a phone number, it's some type of information that they want you to have that you may contact somebody on the outside. Well, here's the problem. That's considered contraband. If you leave with that, you're in violation of the law. So again, very calmly, very politely, you can open it, you can read it. If it truly is a scripture, something from the Lord, say, thank you so much for blessing me. I really appreciate that. But the rule state, I can't take anything with me. But again, thank you for sharing. Thank you for that you have blessed me. So you want to acknowledge the gift, but you also have to acknowledge you can't take the gift with you. And number 29, never give, ever give your phone number and home address. Even though they may look these up, you don't want to encourage them. If they do get these, explain it. It is CPM's policy to have no phone contacts. Again, we want to make sure that you always give your first name and first name only. You will be tested. You will be tempted. It may be something along the lines of, hey, brother, sister, I was really moved by what you shared or by what you preached, and I'd love to pray for you. Can I get your name in my Bible? First name only, Bob. What about your last name? Just Bob. I'm sorry. The rules are thus and such. If you bring it back to the rules, it gives them a focus away from you. In other words, you don't want to say, I really don't want to put myself in the middle of this, or I really don't feel safe, or I don't feel secure giving you my information. Just say, hey, I'm sorry, brother, sister, you know the rules. But Bob's fine. The Lord knows me, the Lord knows you, and that'll be sufficient. So I hope you enjoyed this reading, and again, be blessed, and always do everything you do, not by might or by strength, but by His glorious Spirit.